3, 2, 1.
Hard as fuck.
Oh.
Coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the Duress Crew.
The Duress Crew.
With the hard cast.
Hard as fuck.
It's me, Jay McCowan. Who we got in the building today?
Billy Mills Curran.
I'm Billy Mills Curran.
You're
Billy Mills
Curran. No, you're not. Okay.
Sweet. I'm Billy Mills Curran.
All right.
No,
so...
I'm Billy Mills Curran.
Betty's and cream. All right, so on the couch are our two extremely hydrated friends.
We got Michael Coyle. We got Brad Stone. They don't know what the fuck they're doing right now.
We need no introduction.
Right. Sweet, cool. We just finished up a day at EW.
Yeah, so this was Sunday of Eternal Weekend, day 4. This is a long ass weekend.
Yeah,
like
I hope it never ends.
I kind of draw comparisons to like music festivals with these things.
Yep.
Where like a 2-day fest, you go in and it's like, yo, this is pretty easy.
Yep.
3 days, it's like, damn, this was kind of long. There was a lot of shit to do. 4-day fests, fucking tiring.
Yes.
Burnt out.
I'm not tired at all. I'm ready for more 7 more runs. All
right, you're insane.
I'm ready for more myself.
All right, you guys are
I'm
nuts,
ready for it.
But I'm exhausted personally, but today was the big pre-modern showdown, and personally, I went 0-1-1 drop while still live, technically, so I don't really have much to say, but what about you guys? How did we do?
Jay, what were you playing?
I was playing Tide Control, which was a build of a deck that I had 0 reps on, and I didn't really know what I was doing, so, you know.
So it's like blue-white...
So I basically I've been playing obviously land still for a very, very long time. I think the deck is unplayable right now, but I think the Tide package is really cool, and I played in one side event with mono blue Tide, and I think that deck has a lot of legs, but I wanted the crutch that is Swords to Plowshares and Wrath of God, so I kind of just shoved those back into the deck. And,
you paid the price.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah, and yeah, I did pay the prices. Brad, devastating dreams, my dreams.
Hell yeah.
Mike, how'd it go for you?
I went 4-3.
What were you playing?
The exact same list from Lopsicon. Blueback,
yep.
Dreadnought.
Yep.
Didn't see any need to make.
Wait, I recognize your name now. You were the finalist.
Was that the number 2 finisher?
Yes.
Of Lopsicon?
Yeah. Yep.
So I faced the Rock twice. Rock's a very close matchup, and the thing about it is they just have so much interaction for my combo, and Psychotog doesn't really matter. You were asking before, when's a matchup?
Wait, the Rock plays Psychotog?
No, me.
Oh, alright, never mind.
Are you still into Psychotog in the deck?
Yeah.
Like, do you still like it?
There needs to be some alternative, like, blocker source of damage.
Yeah.
Not having that just makes the deck feel like some anemic shithouse.
Right.
To me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate just, like, sitting there with just trying to defend Dreadnought. Like, I want there to be something else. Like, another dynamic to the deck.
Okay, so you're still into the 2 Psychotogs?
100%.
They're here to stay?
Yeah. And just 2. Some people talk about 3 and 4. 2 is... the right number.
Right, because there's so much worse in multiples.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a 3 drop.
I do like having a backup plan. But you know what's a better backup? You know what's like the best backup plan in pre-modern? It's Call of the Herd. Wait, how do we put Call of the
I'm
Herd
I'm not going to argue with that.
How do we put Call of the Herd into Stiflenaut?
Ugnaught. Shout out to Robin.
Bring it back.
So, Brad, how was your day?
Off on a tangent. Anyways, my day was pretty fucking atrocious. I chose to play Mr. T because I had so much fun with it on Thursday. I've been playing so much Meddling Mage Terrageddon for the past year and a half that it just isn't bringing me joy. I'm not having a lot of fun playing it, even though I think it's the best position deck in the format. So I decided to kind of spice it up a little bit and do something different. I paired into Nick round one. Pretty much the same fucking story as last year. I paired into the to a person that I drove down 10 hours with to Eternal Weekend.
70-player tournament, by the way.
Yeah, and we decided to just chop round one and see if we could win out from there. So I went into the 0-0-1 bracket, and I played blue-white control variants fucking five times throughout the day. Five of seven rounds against fucking blue-white control variants. And I'm so playing rough. Devastating Dreams and Rays, which are just stone-cold unplayable in these matchups. I was able to go 3-2 against those decks for an overall 4-2-1 finish, which was, like, fine, but just an awful day of Magic, just grinding a underpowered mid-range deck into blue-white control. And the one time that I got to play something else was a Oath Ponza deck that I absolutely muckled. And so if I could have just done anything besides what I did today, it probably would have been fucking sick. And I've come to the conclusion that Duress Crew just needs to team kill in round one. Just rip the Band-Aid, get it over with, murder your homie, and just fucking get on with your life.
There's some context to this. Last year at EW, we all lost round one and then all got paired into each other. Yep. And it was a disgraceful mess.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And this year was not, so not only did I pair into Nick round one, but I paired into Jay round two.
Yeah.
And I was just like literally posting on Discord, like, this is horseshit. And whatever, I'm done groveling. My day was pretty ass, but Mr. T was fun. And if I had got to play against anything besides just Counterspell dot deck for the day, I think that it would have been way sicker.
Yeah, I will say, playing Tide Control, I paired into Landstill round one, which I think them having decrees, and this guy also had the dragons.
Yep. Eternal Dragon.
Eternal Dragon. And fucking Exalted Angels. It was just a miserable matchup. It was a grind fest. We went to time in round one. So I was in the draw bracket, not knowing that that happened to also be the homie bracket. So yeah, it was a very miserable pairing round two. But well, at least I mean, that leaves one person left here. Billy, how did you do?
I went 7-1. I think I got fifth. Because I lost in the first layer of top eight against somebody who it was the eventual winner. Jay, since you're the designated driver of this episode, do you want to, you know, I'd like to spend a little attention to this portion. Do you want to ask me some questions about my performance?
Yeah, of course, Billy. I'll suck your dick for a bit.
How cute.
We'll keep it brief.
Yeah, so what were you playing? Describe your deck for me.
I'm playing four-color Terrigan. It's the same that I played a month ago at the ELD monthly. Basically, it's like green white Terrigan plus blue for main deck mages, and then sideboard Hydroblasts, and then plus red for sideboard Pyroclasms and Pyroblasts. And it's just, yeah, none of this like Werebear Goose, just play good cards, play Call the Herd.
I've never heard of this deck before. This is interesting.
Yeah, well, you've never heard of the good version. That's why I played today.
Awesome. So what did you feel like you had any really, really tough matchups, or did you like kind of just go in and shit stomp everybody? Or
I shit stomped everybody this entire weekend with the exception of just a couple people. Through the Swiss, I was 6-0, and then
ID the last round, right?
So I actually, when I was 5-0, I get paired up against David Raska. I really wanted to make sure that I could play him, because he's like very much the final boss. He's cool. He's smarter than me. I respect him. I wanted to make sure that I got a chance to play against him. And the thing is that my deck is literally designed to beat blue white knot. Mono blue knot. Thank you. And we like hemmed and hawed, and we spent like 4 minutes deciding if we were gonna draw or not. And I realized that I would be on the play, and I'm like a Port Mox Diamond deck, so I really want to be on the play.
Locking up that first seed was pretty important, I think.
Yes. Or
at least in theory.
at least in theory. And then I sat down to play against him, and I'm not going to. It was kind of a blur. It was. How you sat and watched that?
I will say that I've definitely seen you play better Magic. I think
it was scatterbrained.
Yeah, Rex had definitely got in your head.
Yeah.
And I think you also then in turn got in your own head even more.
Yeah.
But you know what? We all have matches where we felt like we could have played better, and that's fine.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is that making sure going forward, if you learn nothing, did you feel like you learned something from
not
that matchup?
Not a damn thing.
All right, then I guess. Yeah.
This sign can't stop me because I can't read.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Other notable players.
Nick didn't like that question.
Yeah.
Hang Nick, on. Care to elaborate from the corner?
Nick Mayo is watching us. Yeah. Mike can't pick you up. All right. So moving on because the mic can't pick you up. I just played against like a lot of green white oath, which can go either way. And I played up a lot of.
Ray of Revelations were you on?
One side, and it absolutely won me a match.
Would you go up to two?
I would very seriously consider it. I am kind of unintimidated by red right now, so I would actually. There are terms that I would consider a second one. I would have to do a lot of sideboard remapping, but yeah.
This guy acts like he fucking maps his sideboards.
I do.
Billy makes maps about everything.
Yep. So
more like a spreadsheet.
A spreadsheet. So. Yeah, so I used to main the Oath Terror War decks, and I've previously mained Terrageddon, so I feel like I understand the matchup very well. So unless you have done both, I suspect I am favored. And then against like Dreadnought decks, I just annihilated. I had a couple of good games against Mike Packer on Replenish, who also made top 8 and made it further than me. Congratulations. I'm glad I lost to first and second. No, sorry, I didn't lose him in the Swiss. I beat him in the Swiss.
Yeah, you beat him in the Swiss.
But he's a good player. I like him a lot. Go to his events in New Hampshire.
New England showed up for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout outs to Colton Abrams and Mike Packer, who made the finals.
Yep. So I lost to Colton. He was on Mono Blue Tide. Played against Love is Green on Black Green Survival. He Braids Locked me. It was great.
What? Love is Green was here today?
Yeah. David, I lost a game.
Daniels.
Yep.
David Daniels was here and I didn't see him?
Yeah, and I beat him in the Swiss, too.
I'm pissed. Jesus.
Yep.
As if my day couldn't get worse.
Yeah, so I am undefeated going to the Swiss. I played next round to get first seed. I get paired up against Colton on Mono Blue Tide. Not Dreadnoughts, Tide. Game one, I played some Meddling Mages. And I named Chain and then Nevzdisk. And then I got him down to 4. And then he kegged both of them away.
Big powder keg.
And he chained away an elephant, and then he started to tide me. And then game
what
two.
What did he close the game out with? Just manlands?
Yeah, manlands. Yep.
Yeah, just.
Yep.
It's basically the only win condition for the deck.
Yep. And then game two, I had a mage, and I was like, okay, I need to slow this game down a bit. So I actually ran the mage into, I think I named Counterspell, and then I ran the mage into a quicksand so that he would sack a quicksand, and then I played an elephant with mage named my Counterspell. He quicksanded the mage away. I'm trying to like slow him down. Elephant gets in for one, I think. I don't know. But anyways, he goes, okay, I'll dominate your elephant. So sick. Yeah, so I played a lair land, so I was on 3 lands. He goes, dominate. I'll take your Christy Yamaguchi trading card, which is a figure skater.
You let him touch that?
It was his. He dominated it.
Oh!
I didn't let him. He made the decision himself.
I would have told him to get his own token.
I should have actually given him the token as like a memory. That actually would have been like a very cool
with thing. A duress stamp on it, no doubt.
Yeah, duress crew stamped Christy Yamaguchi trading card.
Coming to a duress crew regional near you.
Yeah,
so, those will be our next top 8 stamped cards.
Yeah, you're not getting anything. You're getting figure skater trading cards. So he dominated that, and then I was on 3 lands. He played a Dust Bowl, and then he Dust Bowled me, so I can't flashback the call and like get equity, and then he dustwolded me again, and then he dustwolded me again, and that was the match.
If I can say anything about meddling mages, it's that always be patient and never run them into anything that could even, like, even if you run them into a factory and think that you can spend removal and get rid of that factory and save your meddling mage, just don't even take the gamble.
Yeah.
When meddling mage is on the board, yep. just chill, let it sit.
It's a prison piece. Yeah, it's a prison piece, not a clock.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be aggressive.
Yeah, just
wait. I have punted enough games away while being aggressive with meddling mage that I have learned just let the card chill on the board, never gamble it. Yep. It is far too essential to ever even offer the trade.
Well, yeah, that's why Colton has a cradle and I have an intuition.
I will say
you still did great, Billy.
You did do great, Billy.
Yeah, I'm 21-7 with this deck, so if you're better than me, pick this deck up, get a better record, and then make me build your deck.
Terrageddon on top, best deck maybe in the format right now, at least top three. You heard it here first.
I will say,
if you even listen to this podcast,
I think that so I in like Landstill and other blue controlling decks, just to bring it back to everybody's favorite subject, that being me and my deck that I play, I think I've been looking for a long time for like a good solution to Call of the Herd, because I think the card is just so annoying to play against.
Powder Keg is a pretty good answer.
Powder Keg's not bad, but I mean, Powder Keg is the same in that, like, just like a Swords to Plowshares, it most likely only trades with half the card.
It usually gets the Mox Diamond, too.
And that is true.
Yep.
But I will say that Dominate, like, I literally Dominate was thinking about playing Dissipate, because I was like, oh, I can counter that shit and exile it. Easy. But Domination taking their thing and then letting them play another one and just being like, okay, we'll trade. That's so sick. It's such a good use of the card.
You should,
it deals with Dreadnoughts incredibly.
You should keep a collar in your magic bag and just like hand it to them when you take their elephant token.
All right, I'm ready for my one-on-one Mr. T interview. Let's go.
Sorry, we only interview winners on this podcast.
Question number one: how unplayable is Devastating Dreams into Counterspell? Well, when you discard five cards and it gets counterspelled, you lose. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Okay, Jay, any further questions?
For Brad.
So Bradley, tell me about what it was like hoisting that trophy above your head. In the, 1-2 bracket or whatever.
There was no such trophy, my lord.
All right.
We're off the rails. All right. Shout outs to Rochester Royals, who are super sick, full of great people. That crew might be wider than DeRest crew. I don't know. It seemed like there was like 25 of them there.
They were all pretty fucking deep.
There was so many jerseys. One of them had a Nick Fit jersey. I don't know who you are, but we need to connect on Discord because I'm trying to force Nick Fit always.
Yo, let's talk about Gooskies.
Oh, yes.
Fuck,
yes.
This bar that we went to?
Yeah, Mike, how'd you hear about it?
The sickest fucking bar in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, my man Steve took me to it many years ago.
Yeah.
When I was here on a trip, and I was like, dude, what's that bar we were at? Like 3 days ago, I texted him this. Finally, he got back to me tonight. We went there, so fucking sick. Like, CBGB's type bar where there's just graffiti all over the place.
Like, everything. Floor to ceiling. On the toilet seat, toilet handle, on the chair.
Really
the
cool fucking people.
Tagged out.
Allowed smoking indoors?
Yeah. Yes. Smoking indoors.
Yes.
Ping really pong table.
Yeah, sick pierogies. Really good wings.
The wings were crazy.
Good beer selection.
Super sick punk soundtrack on the entire time.
Yes, great.
Playing the jam.
Great jukebox.
Yep.
People making very good selections on it.
It felt like the Ralph's west of Worcester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exactly Ralph's.
Fireplace in the...
Yes.
It was nice and toasty.
There's a show, like a venue, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Little stage, couple speakers, the fireplace, and the pool tables.
Yeah.
Whole thing was sick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really cool.
Allow smoking inside. Their deep fryer works, unlike Ralph's.
Also, hold up. I got to shout out $4 cocktails.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't even know if I ever paid $4 for a cocktail in my entire life.
This just in, Brett apparently got $3 cocktails.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yep.
I think that Pittsburgh might be the best city in the United States.
Yeah,
in the world. It's the truest, most American city.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so sick. It's so sick. It's first and coolest fucking city.
As far as like my experience goes in the Northeast, it's like combining Providence and like the Boston suburbs.
It's like no,
or
it's
we
like,
already did all these comparisons. It's no, just it's like, the fucking
it's
like, sickest.
It's Providence and Lowell mashed together because it's industrial.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's got like it's got all the like the sick coffee shops.
I have heard it called that before.
It's got all the squares that have like all these like little restaurants that all have fire food. Yep. And everything is so affordable. Like,
we gotta move there.
I'm fucking in love with this city, man.
Beautiful city.
Dress Crew was born in the wrong city. Straight
go,
up.
Go to Gooski's. If you show up here, expect to get vibe checked. You gotta know how to act right.
Yeah, when you come in with your colors.
Yeah, we rolled up in our Dress Crew fit. We rolled up in all of our matching Dress Crew fit, and we definitely got vibe checked.
And then everybody was stoked when we said it was like a magic crew.
Yeah. I don't know
if there's anything more innocent than that. Like when you're all rolling deep wearing colors and then it's like
we're a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, we're literally just a bunch of like harmless magic nerds.
But,
like
really wholesome.
But we come from Ralph's though. We come from Ralph's, so we like know how to act in that environment.
Editor's note that nice Ralph's is the bar in Worcester. Pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody was very fucking cool.
They were cool as fuck.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very welcoming.
Allowed smoking inside, which was sick. Yeah.
I talked to some dude whose father wrote a book about Sarah Angel, and I added him on Instagram, and I'm trying to get that shit published, because he was telling me the story about how his father was super into magic.
Please tell me it's like a fanfic.
Had this like insane collection that when his father passed away, they sold it for like $70,000.
This was at Gooski's?
Yeah.
Worth half a million today.
True, and yeah, they sold it a while back. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about how his father wrote this book about Sarah Angel that never got published. And so I added him on Instagram, and I was like, dude, hit me up. I'm going to send you a message. If you can dig that shit out, I will help you put that out, and the old school community will eat that up. For sure. So,
hell yeah.
Hopefully that happens. It was a wholesome story.
Yo, they had a ping pong table. I am undefeated in ping pong.
Yeah, you were cracked, actually.
So I beat this guy who was like kind of the home. I won't call him the hometown ringer, but he was good. He was better than anybody except for me. And then I beat UJ.
Yeah.
And I beat Brett. And who else did I fuck on?
How many prize wall tickets did you get?
More than you. Oh wait, in total.
For winning ping pong.
Yeah, that's true. Probably a lot.
None. Actually, I think we should close out this podcast because it's meandering. But we can talk about our prize wall tickets and then close it
out. Yeah, fuck. We can talk about fuck prize walls.
Fuck prize walls. I got a Pete Venter's survival playmat. I got it signed by him. I'm going to raffle it off for charity. I won in Intuition. Probably going to sell it to the crew so we can give it away as prizing. And I got some Dominaria Remastered packs to refill the bounty. Coffers.
Hell yeah. I got a Pernicious Deed playmat that I also plan on giving out to the charity raffle. Hopefully, we're going to be moving those online so that we can really bump up those numbers that we're raising. But we're getting a sick little stockpile going with these playmats. Coy, you get any sick prizing?
I just got that Thoughtseize playmat.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was all for my EDH tickets, you know?
Yeah, that shit's nice.
Yeah.
So fuck you guys for making me sound like a dick, but while you guys are getting like sick stuff to raffle off to charity, I just sold all my tickets to some guy for like $300 to help pay for this trip.
Bro, $300?
Yeah.
Damn, Jay's grinding EV at EW.
It's true.
I think that's it. What do you guys think?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
Put a bow tie on that shit.
Yeah, this is Billy Mills Kern. Thank you so much.
Mwah.
Mwah. Love y'all.
Whoa. Good night, bye. Press stop.
No, how do I stop this thing? Oh, God.